What's up, freaks? It's your boy Marty getting pointed at by our boy Logan over there in the corner to introduce this episode of Rabbit Hole Recap. A day late, but we didn't miss a week. That's the important thing. Good conversation. Matt and I just got back from a week-long retreat, a three-day retreat with the 1031 portfolio companies. Spirits are high. Momentum is building. We're going to win. We're going to win. Unchained's going to win too. This trip is brought to you by Unchained. They're here building the financial platform for the Bitcoin standard, leveraging Bitcoin's native multi-sig properties to bring you a suite of products, make it easier for you to hold Bitcoin, to use Bitcoin as collateral, to use Bitcoin in an IRA. I tried to think of something there, just like if you want to pick one IRA. Unchained makes that easy. All their products leverage two or three multi-sig primitives. They have their Vault product, which allows you to hold two keys in that two or three quorum. They just realized their enterprise keyless multi-institution structure as well. So they're giving users the ability to hold less than two keys in these models. If you want to hold one key and then delegate collaborative custody to Unchained and one of their two partners, Kingdom Trust or CoinCover, you can do that. If you want to go completely keyless, have a two or three multi-sig where you distribute that risk across Unchained, Kingdom Trust, and CoinCover, you can do that as well. They have their trading desk that makes it easy to buy Bitcoin and put it directly in those two or three multi-sig vaults. They have their lending desk, which allows you to use Bitcoin as collateral in a two or three multi-sig where you hold one key to get visibility to make sure that your Bitcoin isn't being rehypothecated. Use Bitcoin as collateral, get US dollars in return. They're really turning up the engines and releasing new products, seems every week now. So go to unchained.com/consultation. Set up a consultation with their team to learn about what they're building. You don't have to ape into anything, but you should know what they're building. Go set up a consultation. Tell them that RHR sent you. Unchained.com/consultation. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. I was showing this off during the episode, but I'm going to do it again here. The Beefsteak membership Sats card got this in Utah this week. This is one of CoinKite's products. If you're a company out there, you want to personalize a Bitcoin product to give out to people, Josh at Beefsteak has done that with this. Looks like Blockbuster. Very good branding. Makes it easy. Sats card is a great product. You NFC enabled card form factor, tap it on the back of your phone, click the link, takes you to a page with an address that you can load up with Bitcoin that is associated with this physical card. The private key lives on the card. And then you use it as a bearer instrument to give people Bitcoin. It's my favorite way to gift people Bitcoin. Wedding gifts, big for wedding gifts. This is just one thing. We talked about the big Mark IV update that came out this week from CoinKite. Mark IV is their hardware wallet that allows you to create private public key pairs offline, never touching an online device. It allows you to easily add entropy to your private key so that you know it's sufficiently random. It's got two secure elements. It's NFC enabled as well. It's the best hardware wallet on the market. And they got cool things like this block clock behind me. That is just a great, aesthetically pleasing clock to put in your house with a bunch of Bitcoin data. Go to coinkite.com. Get all these products. Try to use RHR. Still don't know if we have a promo code. Try it. Coinkite.com. Best hardware in the space. Q1's coming out. Satslink's coming out. We're turning it up. Coinkite.com. Tell Logan you love him. Enjoy this rip. Tiki.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
And we are live. I'm tired.
Let's fucking go. Should we let the freaks in on what we were doing for the last 3 days?
I think so. It was a powerful week. I'm feeling rejuvenated, bullish, even though I just said I'm tired. The spirit is more awake than ever after this week.
Yeah, so we did our, I agree. We did our second year running 1031 event, private retreat for our portfolio companies. So all the founders from the different 1031 companies came out and joined us for 3 days. And we had a good time. We collaborated. We worked together. It's really great. It's a lot of the founders get to meet each other for the first time. New faces, old faces. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, Chatham House rules. We're not allowed to disclose exactly what was discussed. No, it was good. I thought we'd crush the format this year. Presentations, broader discussion.
We had presentations, discussions, activities. It was great.
Yeah.
We went shooting.
I went to the sauna. Yeah.
Yeah, sauna, shooting, hiking. It was good.
No, and I think it's really unique about this industry, in the particular venture fund, even though we don't like to call it a venture fund, that we're part of at 1031. We do have these unique situations where there's a lot of opportunities for the portfolio companies that we invest in to collaborate and learn from each other. And I think this type of retreat is not possible for all of these types of funds.
Bitcoin is so early. So there's a lot of room for people to grow the pie together and build off of each other and work together and help each other in not necessarily a selfless way. Like it helps themselves and it helps everyone else. I just wanted to say, like, I was like debating whether or not to say it or not for privacy reasons, but I think, the net outweighs the negative. It was an absolute honor too, that we had our second, both years, Beefsteak Josh, graced us with a private beefsteak. And this year he actually, one of the activities was he also taught us how to make steak better. And his right-hand man, Dan, who's also a ride or die freak, came out with his cocktail expertise, because he's very specialized there. Beefsteak Sats card.
My Beefsteak membership Sats card. Beautiful thing. Yeah, it was fun. I'm tired, but the spirit is strong. And I think it was cool to see. It was like as an observer of watching everybody interact, I do think there were some unlocks for people. Definitely some collaborative efforts that will come from this week, like they did last year as well. But yeah, particularly with everything that's gone on this year, specifically as it pertains to the banking situation in the industry, I think it was very productive. Talked through a lot of those problems and solutions that exist out there and how to strategize for the potential of more bank runs in the future.
Yeah, we got a fucking bank run on Central Bank too.
Where?
I don't know. Isn't that basically like when you see treasuries, the way they're acting, like essentially a bank run? The mother of all bank runs?
Yeah, apparently Bank of America has something like $110 billion in unrealized losses on treasuries alone on their balance sheet, which is not good.
That's fucking insane. You like can't even comprehend the magnitude of that number.
No. And that's the other thing. The national debt too, that's going parabolic. We had something like $40 billion worth of debt in one day earlier this week.
How much?
$40 billion in one day. went from 33.51 to 33.55.
That's so fucking crazy.
Yeah, we're at 33.537 trillion and went down about 13 billion yesterday.
That's unreal.
Yeah. Things are heating up. Do you have the river thing on the list? I don't think you do.
What river thing?
The Lightning Network research report that Sam Wooters put out. I think.
Oh, no. I didn't include that. Did you go through it?
I did. I glossed through it. There's a lot of good charts in there. I wanted to bring it up.
I saw the headline said 1,200% increase over 2 years.
1,212, yeah. 1,212.
Well, how do they measure that?
I think that was a lower bound estimate based off of the economic activity that their node has experience. Let me see this.
So they use their node's information, payments, and then extrapolate it?
I believe so. Maybe combine that with some publicly disclosed.
Well, that's how you want to do it.
Here, I'll put this in the chat, Logan. We can pull this up. Okay, executive summary. Based on data from the operators of nodes comprising 52% of the public capacity on the Lightning Network, we estimate a lower bound of 6.6 million routed Lightning transactions in August 2023. The upper bound could be a multiple of this number if there was data availability of direct and private transactions between participants. This represents a 1,212% increase since the 503,000 Lightning payments estimate in August of 2021 by K33, formerly Arcane Research. This growth was despite a 44% Bitcoin price drop and a 45% decrease in search interest.
So, yeah, I guess so it looks like they actually polled other major node operators and tried to include them as well.
Yes.
That's interesting. Because to be clear, to those that are not aware, like you can't, the way Lightning works, it's a series of payment channels between nodes. So like Marty has a node, I have a node, and we have a payment channel that payments route between those two nodes. So nodes can see what payments they're routing, but they can't see what payments other nodes are routing. So most of these analyses are, you know, a educated guess. And this seems like, I don't know of any other time where someone has attempted to get participation of over 50% of routing nodes. Presumably River was a significant portion of it. Presumably it's like, do they say how many nodes participated in the survey? Like it might have only been 10 nodes or whatever that were routing 50% of payments.
Control F survey.
50 nodes or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's interesting regardless. I mean, even if you don't, it's nice to have numbers to put on these things and try and track them from a progress point of view. But I think...
Logan, go to page 21 on this report too, please.
Like objectively living through the last 2 years and using these tools, like Lightning has clearly grown significantly. I know that that's not an exact number, but the growth has been staggering from my point of view.
Same. And I think this map that we have up on the screen right now, if you're listening and not watching, we have the Lightning Network industry market map of 2023. And there's a lot of logos on here, it seems like. And I've got Uncle Lou has moved to Austin, been talking to him a lot. And I showed him this earlier this week, and he says this is exactly like what, not that we're big fans of this industry, but like this was like what the ad industry map looked like in like 2006, 2007. And if you look at that map today, you can't even see the logos because there's so many companies, so much activity. I think that's going to follow here as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm just looking at the chat now. Oh, by the way, freaks, I just want to apologize for my poor audio quality. The show must go on, so I am recording outside right now to take from Marty in Jersey Shore. But so if you're listening on audio, that's why my audio is not great. But we have Ride or Die Freak FTB in the comments saying he needs to found a company just so he can come to our yearly 1031 retreat. And I know he's like half joking, but like part of what makes it so special is it's crazy how many Ride or Die Freaks have founded companies that 1031 supports. The freak mafia is strong. 5 years after RHR started, there's a shit ton of freak run businesses.
Yeah, we're the top of the funnel for business ideas, and somebody listens and goes starts it.
It's so special. It's so fucking special. Incredibly bullish.
Very bullish. I mean, it is cliche, and we said it's cliche to say it's cliche. It's a fractal of cliches, but building does happen in the bear market, and despite what many would have you believe, I think the progress that the industry overall, not only within our portfolio, but overall has made, as this lightning research report from River proves, despite the fact that we've been in bear market for quite some time now, going on 2 years, a lot has happened. Activity's up, company formation's up. Usability is improved.
The fundamentals are strong.
We're going to win. All right, you got a tight rip, so we can't belabor too long here. So we'll go back to the list. Big topic of the week. It's funny being on this retreat and then checking in on Twitter seldomly throughout the week, but seeing all the headlines coming out of Sam Bankman-Fried's trial. Big news this week was Caroline Ellison, his ex-girlfriend and leader of Alameda Research, was on the stand and she just spilled all the tea. It was completely egregious Ponzi scheme with disgusting levels of mismanagement of
just
user funds.
Just straight up fraud. Yeah. Like, fraud on steroids, so much criminal fraud. She said they attempted to suppress the price of Bitcoin under 20K by selling customer funds.
They bribed the Chinese government.
That for years, Alameda was their trading arm, was just pulling money out of customer funds. They've been insolvent from almost the very beginning, if not the very beginning. And she has receipts for all this shit. She's got like signal messages, recordings. She recorded one of their meetings on the day before their bankruptcy. So it's pretty damning shit that's going on in court right now. One of the signal messages that was exposed, was them actually talking about that infamous tweet she sent out, mm-hmm. where she was like, we'll buy all of, and it was just, I mean, that part was like, not even, I mean, that's clear fraud as well, but that just shows like how, I mean, they were just completely out of their mind, especially at the end there, and they were just completely delusional.
Yeah, pull this up, Logan. You sent a note out on Noster.
It's fucking insane.
So here, Caroline Ellison, I think I'm going to tweet at CZ that we will buy it all from him at $22. Any objections? Ben G.
This is FTX's like exchange token, FTT token.
Yeah. I can imagine that hurting. Might be better if the market is willing to buy for 22 rather than affiliate. But not strongly opposed. And SBF chimes in. I think the main point is just to counter the PR slash narrative here, and Binance probably won't take us up on it. I also think, for what it's worth, that the market is likely to buy more if we tweet it, but I don't know. I'm about to tweet. FTT will go up. SBF, guessing it makes sense to speed up freeing up capital, seeing significant withdrawals. Amateurs. Insane.
And then she separately testified that that tweet in general was her idea. So they they had already lost billions and billions of dollars of customer funds. And the thing that pushed them over the edge was they had a bunch of levered loans on. They had a bunch of loans with FTT, their in-house Ponzi token, as the collateral. And they needed to defend this $22 price point. Otherwise, they were going to get liquidated. So that was literally right before it truly exploded.
Yeah.
And then, CZ came out after that and was like, we're dumping all our FTT. Or he did it right before that, maybe. I don't know. Crazy.
Yeah, it's Sequoia. I love this founder. Here's $200 million. That's the other,
they did zero due diligence whatsoever. But she also testified that they've been doctored all their documents since 2019. When
yeah.
Giving it years and stuff.
And they had a fake insurance fund they just had a random number, literally using a random number generator to create an insurance fund.
Yeah, their website insurance fund. So an insurance fund is when you have, BitMEX popularized this, because when you have all these leveraged trade positions, if a bunch of your customers get liquidated in some crazy situation, you have the insurance fund to essentially backstop it. And if you have a proper insurance fund, and you have proper liquidation engines, you shouldn't really ever have to use the insurance fund. And it should basically increase forever. If you remember the BitMEX insurance fund, it was just a number go up. You just constantly saw more and more Bitcoin getting siphoned from trading fees, put in the insurance fund and going up because they didn't really use it. And it came out on FTX. They literally just had a random number generator. They would take the number of fees. They would add in a random number. And that's what it would show on the webpage.
Yeah. Pull this up. I'm from BitMEX research. There was a funny meme of somebody took the picture of SBF and Arthur Hayes standing next from each other, but the random number generator code next to BitMEX's insurance fund chart. But yeah, this is from BitMEX research. Please see below the exhibit with the code showing the random number field and the formula to calculate the FTX insurance fund figure to publish. Yeah. Return F2D numpy.random.normal. Just taking the daily volume, dividing it by 10,000, I believe, and then adding a random number generator. Oh, it was Eric Wall. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you guys will hear more about SBF and everything over the next week, 2 weeks. So I don't really want to talk about it too much, but it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, I think it's becoming... I know you don't like peak, but was that peak easy money raising?
You know, Marty, I could use a few more years of easy money. So if you want to make a peak easy money call, either you're right or we got some easy money. I'm cool with either way.
But literally this guy is an idiot. I want to shout out to myself, but I called it out pretty early in 2020. This dude, I literally tweeted out, I don't understand why anybody thinks this guy's a genius. You hear him talk on CNBC, and it's just bush mouth.
But yeah, if it wasn't peak easy money, it was close enough, It's classic. This is classic late stage fiat shit.
Yeah.
Right? It's you've broken the incentives for so many years that, of course, it's going to blow up
spectacularly.
Massive. The only question, I think FTX might have been too small to be peak easy money. Like, it's like what happens next is probably what it
that's bigger be. Than but Madoff.
In the background, it's already kind of happening.
It was like a magnitude order of Madoff, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just don't think the like you want to talk about like peak easy money, like how about like late stage fiat shit? Like how about like almost every bank being insolvent right now?
Yeah, that's true.
Right, like the magnitude of something like that, and the repercussions of something like that. I mean, everyone, obviously, like all eyes have been on CZ for a while. People have been calling for the Binance collapse, but it looks, you know, the other Asian shit corner that a lot of people forget about is the owner of Poloniex and Huobi, Justin Sun, and from like. From what I'm seeing, it looks like Justin Sun's about to blow the fuck up. It looks like he bought Huobi, changed the name to HTX, and has just siphoned out all user funds that were held in stablecoins. He like took their Tether, converted it to his wrapped Tether version on Tron, and then converted it to USDC, and then sent the USDC to Binance to rug it. So I think. He might have just rugged all like $400 million worth of customer funds from Huobi, which would be very brazen. You know, he's been running a low time preference scam in Tron and related entities for a long time. And this would kind of point to him being very desperate and in a really bad position. Caroline, also, it's important for us to remind everybody that Barry Silbert still owes billions of dollars. Including to Gemini users of the Gemini Earn product. And some of Caroline's comments like heavily incriminated Genesis, the trading arm of Digital Currency Group and Barry Silbert. I think we haven't seen the full ripple effects yet. I think there's a lot of things still hiding beneath the surface. I think BlockFi, like Zach Prince is going to testify next. Coming out of paternity leave to testify. So we'll see what happens. Stay humble and stack sets.
Yeah. As it pertains to Genesis, Caroline Ellison testified that Genesis privately communicated to SBF they may go bankrupt and they needed $500 million to fend off redemptions. And I believe Genesis halted trading this week too. I think I saw that.
Yeah, but like, I mean, it's been like 280 days or something. Like, I stopped counting. Have we passed a year yet?
I think like, we're past 300. I think we're
since
definitely.
It's been obvious Genesis is insolvent. Like, if you're surprised at this point that they're halting withdrawals, like, holy shit, man. That's, you've really been taking crazy pills.
What was the format of your tweet? I'm looking for your last one. It has been.
What? Oh, you can just search Barry Silbert days.
It has been, okay, on June 12th of this year, it has been 208 days since Gemini froze withdrawals. So,
how many days since then?
Days since June 12th.
This is good. Thanks.
123 plus 208. Again, I'm tired. It's been a long week. 331 days.
Almost a year.
Almost a year.
Barry Silbert still has billions of dollars.
Month and a few days away from a year.
And by the way, when I started that, most commentators were saying DCG was fine and that the worry should be Binance. That Binance was next.
Do you think American HODL shows up to the
I want American today? HODL to show up with the sign in the courtroom. Because you owe me Bitcoin from our bet.
Where's my one Bitcoin?
That's a ridiculous tweet. That's going to be ridiculous to pull up. But for those who are not aware about... When did HODL make that bet? Like 9 months before BlockFi collapsed, HODL made like a 5-year bet with Zach Prince that his company would fail and go insolvent for one Bitcoin. Zach has not paid him yet. It was like literally like 9 months after that tweet, I think it fucking happened.
Let me see. I've got it here. Here, pull this up. God, what a crazy industry we're in. Like the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company making bets. American Hoddle's had all of his Twitter accounts nuked. It's hard to find the actual screenshot. I would prefer to do 10 years, giving you 2-to-1 odds because 37 is just so long. I'd suggest a round amount in Bitcoin terms. Nothing too crazy. One Bitcoin. If BlockFi is still operational with perfect performance for clients, I win one Bitcoin. If we shut down or lose clients, you win two. It actually has them two.
So he has them two Bitcoin. And that was February 2021.
Yes.
So that was less than 2 years ago.
Beware, freaks. Justin Sun's in trouble. That's it's the big thing. Like, do we have like one more cleansing event? We leave all
it's
this.
So easy, like especially like in our little bubble, it's so easy to forget Justin Sun exists.
Right.
Dude has been running for fucking years.
And he's like my least favorite type of scammer. He's like almost like a cartoon character.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right, let's get on to more valuable bullish stuff. Madeira announces launch of the Bitcoin Business Hub. This is really cool to see the president of Madeira, Miguel Albuquerque, announced the creation of a Bitcoin Business Hub in the region to foster innovation. I think this has been rumbling in the background for quite some time. There's a lot of Bitcoiners that are really fond of Madeira. I believe there will be a Bitcoin Commons / Bitcoin Park like entity in Madeira. Is it already spun up, or is it starting next year?
There's going to be a strong... They're building a physical space, or they have a physical space there that they're building out. The community seems to have a lot of momentum. The local government seems to be very supportive. They have a very friendly tax structure. The island is fucking gorgeous. You get both ocean and mountains. So I imagine a lot of Bitcoiners are going to flock there. And if I was an American citizen, I'd probably just get on a plane and move there.
Yeah. Did you see the Zap.stream message?
Yeah, I'm trying to. That's why I'm distracted. Of course, we always have to top. I feel like we always have to top up midstream. So I'm doing that now. Yeah. Our Noster stream is about to run out of credit, so I need to send them sets.
Shout out to Madeira. Shout out to everybody building out there.
Yeah, I'm really bullish on it. I think, and they're going to have a conference in March, I think, which is going to be like their big, you know, their big homecoming or launch or whatnot. So yeah, it's just very bullish. Impressive.
Yeah. I'd have to make a trip to Madeira. You fly into Portugal and get down.
I mean, it's technically an island, a Portuguese island, yeah. But I think it's pretty far off the coast, so I don't know.
Next up on the list, Strike announced Strike's white glove private service. They're calling it Strike Black.
No, Strike Private. They also announced Strike Black.
Okay.
Strike Black is like the B2B. Sorry, I'm trying to like top these up.
Strike Black's the B2B like infrastructure.
Correct. It's like, it's for app developers and businesses and people that want to integrate, Strike for their users. And then Strike Private is a classic, white glove service, where you get premium support and higher limits and whatnot.
Yeah. Strike Private lets customers access Strike's Bitcoin infrastructure with no purchase limits, custom pricing, and team of experts ready to aid individual Bitcoin needs. Just in time for the bull market. BitVM. This was big this week, too. I skimmed the white paper. I need to go back and actually read it intently. But BitVM, compute anything on Bitcoin. This came sort of out of nowhere. Earlier this week, people were really excited about it. I admittedly have not read enough to have an educated opinion on it. With that being said, it looks pretty cool from what I've seen and from skimming the white paper. Essentially, what BitVM allows you to do is execute computations outside of Bitcoin, off-chain, using something similar to optimistic rollups, but then you verify using cryptography that things are working on chain with a much smaller data footprint on chain. So a prover makes a claim that a given function evaluates for some particular inputs and some specific output. That claim is false, then the verifier can perform a succinct fraud proof and punish the prover.
Yep.
Using this mechanism, any computable function can be verified on Bitcoin.
So we're officially topped up. It's a bit above my pay grade and it dropped recently. And so I haven't given it a full look, but what is being proposed here is that we can essentially, use Bitcoin in a massive amount of different kinds of computation. Like the claims are being pretty strong. And the beauty of it is that because of Taproot and Tapleaf, there's not a burden on chain, unless there's a dispute, unless there's a conflict and for some reason you need to settle, then you come on chain. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. Oh, and the really big thing, the fundamental big thing is that this proposal requires zero changes to Bitcoin, which means it can just be built out without permission. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, again, I need to do a deeper dive into it. I've seen a lot of reactions. Super Testnet's excited about it. I think he contributed to the white paper.
He's one of the main contributors.
Yeah.
I believe.
But then I saw Lalu giving some feedback on Twitter. This is one little thread I caught. He seems to think that you could actually have more data usage than expected using Taproot in some scenarios. I didn't see the longer conversation there, but yeah, I think it's something to pay attention to. I need to do a deeper dive on, and something that you should definitely look into. We have a link to the white paper in the show notes. Go read it.
It dropped like 2 days ago, right?
I think on like Monday or Tuesday, so 3 days ago. And then speaking like, so Tapleaf Circuits is a proof of concept implementation of BitVM. I believe Super Testnet did this. So this is just a POC where a prover Paul and a verifier Vicky agree on an arbitrary Boolean circuit and then encode it inside tap leaves and a Taproot address. Thereupon, they may fund the address in such a way that Paul is paid if he executes the script correctly, but Vicky is paid if he does not. This method brings any computable function to Bitcoin. It can be expanded upon to do SBV proofs of the existence of a UTXO at a given block height, allowing for covenants. Very fascinating. Covenants, maybe we don't need OpsCTV. Moving on, big update. Well, we're on the software updates. We got to wrap up in like 15 minutes. So I'll get a boost real quick from last week. Top four boosts from RIP 273. The bank runs continue. at Silverstone, 88,888 sats, eights across the board. Palindrome Boost, love you boys. Shout out to you, Odell and Marcus, for all you do for the community. My little brother and I own a little golf company, KNG Golf, making custom genuine leather head covers. We also have a ton of great apparel. We gladly accept Bitcoin. It might be the only golf account on Noster? If you need some gear, visit knggolf.ca and use the code RHR for 21% off. And if you want to pay in Bitcoin, just email us.
That well, that's badass.
It was like an ad read.
Yeah. But at least they seem like ride or die freaks.
Shout out to you. Silverstone, up in Canada. Hope you're doing well up there. At Colco 101, 75,000 sats. Spotify shit the bed on me while listening to this rip, so I re-downloaded Fountain. Shout out to you guys for great content. Shout out to Oscar and Fountain for drastically improving the product. And shout out to me for getting back into V4V podcasting.
Shout out you, freak. Thank you.
Shout out to you, Colco 101. At Cum Rocket.
Cum Rocket.
69,420 sats. Boise Bitcoiners meetup number 26, Thursday, October 19th, 2023 at Arid Club, Inc., 1137 West River Street, Boise, Idaho. No dress code is required. Come dressed as you please. The Arid Club, that's A-R-I-D, will have a full-service drink and food menu. Boise Bitcoiners is a place for all levels of knowledge to learn more about Bitcoin. Although some attendees are very technical, anyone should be able to learn at our meetup. Join us at the Arid Club for our upcoming Bitcoin meetup. Stay humble, stack sats. That meetup is Thursday, October 19th. So next Thursday, if you're in the Boise, Idaho area. And last but not least, our good friend Eric99, 50,000 sats. Stay humble, stack sats.
Great advice, Eric. Thanks for the support.
Thank you. Cum Rocket, Colco 101, Silverstone. Top four boosters of the week. Only kind of boosters I like. Moving on to software updates. Big update from Cold Card. Cold Card Mark IV version 5.2.0 has been released with Seed Vault, PSBT V2, and more. Seed Vault enables storage of multiple secrets into the Cold Card's encrypted settings for easy recall and later use. They are encrypted with a key based on your seed using AES 256 CTR, but are not themselves stored in the secure elements. Too long, don't read. This is the first Bitcoin signing device to store multiple seeds.
This is a massive update. Shout out to the CoinKite team. I think it's, So with Cold Card, right, you obviously you have the ability to create your own seed. And you can create that with dice on your own, or you can use the Cold Card's entropy, or you can do a combination of the two. Then after that, you have the ability to do BIP85 deterministic seeds. So you can make little child seeds off of that already created seed. And use those in other wallets. So you create it in Cold Card and then you use it in other wallets. What's really cool about that is your actual original seed backup also backs up those child seeds for you as well. Now you also have the ability to take a seed that was created outside of Cold Card and just secure it in Cold Card. That gives you additional security at rest, but it also makes it easier to sign transactions if you're going to use a computer or a phone or something to sign transactions and you don't want your keys to be hot. But to me, like I think, so all of these are awesome. It's awesome to have all these different tools. It's worth mentioning, like if you import a seed to store in the Cold Card, that is obviously not backed up by your seed, but it is backed up by the digital backup. If you do the encrypted digital backup with micro SD card, all those seeds are backed up. So like if you have friends and family that you're giving gifts to or whatnot, and you want to help them back up their seed and keep it in your Cold Card, you could do that and you'd have the digital backup to hold it. You also could do the HD wall, the deterministic BIP85 child seeds. But what I was going to say is, like, what I think this update highlights is a lot of people don't appreciate, like, the value you get out of a Cold Card, like what it represents, right? And to me, like, Cold Cards with all the precautions they take, the multiple secure elements, the verifiable code, even the transparent cases with the epoxy and shit, like, they're basically giving you what is the equivalent of, I don't know, like a $20 million gold safe or some shit, like armed guards, like 6 inches of, like 6 feet of steel, like insane fucking security, physical security for your seed, right? And even if you, like, it's best practice not to just rely on the cold card as your backup mechanism. Like, you should still have, you know, an offline steel backup, hidden somewhere securely, ideally using CEDEXOR or multi-sig so you have multiple backups and they can't be compromised individually. But in terms of, like, that is going to be regardless, right? But if your cold cards are in more accessible places, you want them at rest to have as much security as possible. And so, like, when I talk to a beginner about a cold card, I try and get them to visualize, essentially, you have this steel plate, right, which is your private key. And if someone gets that, you're fucked, right? And then you can also keep a digital version of that that's locked in this insane fucking safe that is the cold card. And I feel like people don't really appreciate that and realize, you know, for, I don't even know how much they cost now, but for like $120, $150, like, you get insane security guarantees. So just... huge shout out to them. I rely on the product all the time. So,
yeah, massive update. I mean, if you're really looking for deep cold storage and top of the line security software and firmware, I gotta get smarter on how to actually use this stuff.
I see Plan B in the YouTube comments. You know, they add so many features. Like, it's easy to like feel overwhelmed on the surface.
Yes.
But if you use it in its most basic way, it's a lot easier to use than you think. And you, so don't like overwhelm yourself by thinking you need to use every single feature in the advanced setting menu of cold card. Get one, get two. I like getting two. If you're using a new hardware device, they're cheap enough. It's nice to have two so you can play around with both of them, restore from each, backup to each, and just get comfortable with it.
Yeah, practice makes perfect. My context, like, I actually just need to internalize and really just walk through, like, the social design of all this stuff. I think it comes down to it, like, hopping on and actually using it. I'll be able to do it, but, like, before you even get into using it, like, walking through the process and setting up, designing a process of where you put all these things, how you access them, how you back them up before actually going to do it.
Practice makes perfect, freaks.
Yeah. All right, let's interrupt software updates real quick, because I think this is interesting for Bitcoiners. Pull that up. Gold is fucking pumping right now, dude.
Is it really?
Analog Bitcoin.
Like, it's fucking pumping. It's up like $15.
More than that. It's up like $50.
I always said, like, that would be like the most ironic timeline. It's like, spend 10 years in the Bitcoin space, like, be like directionally correct. But then, like, it was gold that became the standard. And then gold bugs got their last laugh. Like, that would be a big slap in the nuts.
bust through the $1,900 level, currently sitting at $1,937.90. It's up $54.90 today, or around 3%.
Like, I have some gold, but in compared to like my Bitcoin savings, it's, I might as well just be like net short gold significantly.
My ring's up 3% today.
Yeah, basically all my gold is just Mene jewelry. But yeah, you nailed that. Like, I got mine on too right now. This, yeah. How far does the bear market have to go to when you sell your wedding band?
Honey, we're selling the band. We're still married.
But I like can't really see the chart, except that it's just like fucking parabolic. But what is it trading at right now? 1938?
1938, yeah.
And then, like, what was the bottom? What was that, like, little cup bottom?
That was, like, 1882.
So it was, like, went up 100.
I mean, on October 6th, it was 1828, so it's up over $100.
This is the one-month chart?
This is going back a week. I have it on the, so the 30-minute chart. If you go to the daily chart, Logan, you can see how massive this move is compared to everything else.
I think, is it true that, like, in general, commodities pump during wars?
It would make sense if you need to bolster your industrial base to prepare the war machine to go to battle. And you have to buy all that copper, aluminum. Commodities that actually make the war machines, and then the monetary risk off commodities like gold probably pump too as people look to de-risk.
Well, compared to Bitcoin, I think gold is a complete shitcoin, and hopefully I'm not wrong about that.
Hey, agree. Bitcoin is far superior to gold, but I don't think we should bash our gold bugs. I think philosophically we're very well aligned. And we should be looking for more allies and not trying to push them away.
I mean, they can be our allies. They should just stay home and stack sats.
Agreed. All right, back to the list. Software updates. Blow through these. Thunder launches Clinch, non-custodial P2P wagering app and API. This is really cool to see.
This is fucking awesome.
Dez released this at Bitcoin Amsterdam earlier this week. The API opens up possibilities for partners, including online casinos, sports books, and competitive gaming platforms to integrate high-frequency global wagering without the limitations, high fees, and sluggish processing associated with traditional gaming providers.
The key here is it's really hard to do non-custodial mobile Lightning. And if you're doing a wagering platform or a gambling platform and you want to use sats, if you do a custodial way, you're going to end up having to do KYC and all the associated friction that comes with that. Your users are going to have to, they'll be geo-locked. You can only serve in certain areas if you have MTLs and different money licenses and whatnot. So the key unlock here is being able to do it in a non-custodial way that works and has very little friction. And this actually reminds me, because the software release isn't public yet, but Zeus released to their alpha testers, they released 0.8.0, which brings non-custodial Lightning address support to Zeus users. And the reason I bring that up is because both of these models seem to be relying on the fact that the LSP is involved and is acting as a generous God, which works. It's not the most trust minimized situation. It's not decentralized, but it's practical and pragmatic and works today. So in this situation, essentially, users are sending one payment each to the other person, but through their node, through Thunder's node. So Thunder, when they see who wins, they just release the associated payment to the winner, and the loser obviously doesn't receive their sats. And then with Zeus, he's essentially using HODL invoices, where the LSP, the Zeus routing node, is holding your payment for 24 hours. And as long as you go online within 24 hours, your payment will be received. And if you don't go on within 24 hours, it returns to sender. And so in both of those situations, this is pretty massive in terms of, you know, easy Lightning usage on mobile, particularly on the receive side. That has been a very difficult task because you know, apps aren't always online. They can't always be, even though you feel like your phone's always online, the app can't be running 24/7. Otherwise, you'd have no battery life.
Yeah. This is really cool to see. I mean, nothing gets Matt Odell more bullish than Bitcoin being integrated in gaming. And this just took it to a whole new level.
Sats and games, man. Who plays poker? You know how boring playing poker is without money?
Never done it. Never done it. That's how boring it is.
I think that's how people are going to look back at not having sats in games. It's going to be like, it's the most obvious thing in hindsight.
Yeah. Shout out to Dez and the team at Thunder.
And for gambling, out there. For gambling, it's always been a major use case.
Yeah.
Like the young Americans, at least, might not remember a world where gambling online was illegal, because it's become a massively booming, heavily regulated industry. But for a while, it was banned, and the way they banned it was through the payment processors. They said Visa, MasterCard, ACH, like you cannot allow deposits and withdrawals. So they didn't actually even need to make it fully illegal. They just were like, we're just going to block all the on-ramps and off-ramps.
Yeah. Black Friday. Create a lot of Bitcoiners.
I think it was Black Tuesday.
Black Tuesday?
I don't know. It was the day that all the on-ramps got closed.
The government doesn't want you to gamble. They don't want you to have freedom of choice.
Well, they're fine if you do it through the government lottery system.
Yes.
Where they make a shit ton of fucking money. Yes. And then tax you even after you win.
Yeah, it's
degeneracy.
Stop talking about it. I had to yell at my mom like once a month. Whenever the Powerball rips, she's like, I'm going to buy lotto tickets. I'm like, please just stop buying lottery tickets. Just buy Bitcoin. Stay humble.
Yeah, just stay humble and stack sats.
Stay humble, mom. Mom, if you're listening, I know you are. Stay humble and stack sats, not lotto tickets. Blockstream Green, big week for non-custodial Lightning. Blockstream Green is now open for business.
Green light. So Blockstream Green is their wallet.
Green light
is this idea that you run a bunch of nodes on cloud servers for mobile users, primarily mobile users, but the keys stay on the phone, not on the server. So this is a way for developers. This is a way for app developers to essentially integrate self-custody Lightning payments in their mobile app without reinventing the wheel. They just use Greenlight as their backend. And they actually, it's interesting, they have a free plan here where if it's up to 1,000 users, the developer doesn't have to pay. And then they scale you into essentially subscription payments as you add more users.
It's a good business model.
Yeah, it should be interesting. It makes an interesting trade-off balance. It uses validating Lightning Signer, which is, I just had Ken on Civil Dispatch to talk about it. It's this idea of having the keys separate, from where the node is. So you have to compromise two devices, essentially. So it's a really interesting use case for that. And it'll be cool to see how people build on top of it. I know Breeze is heavily involved. Like Greenlight is used as part of the Breeze SDK. So I expect them to build pretty cool things with it.
Agreed. I mean, this is massive development for UX and the push to give users as much control as possible over their Bitcoin, particularly over the Lightning Network. So things like VLS, the Mutiny guys are building, in parallel to this, is like very important. This goes back to a comment that I believe M. Hart made in the comments earlier, which is, what about Snowden presentation at Bitcoin Amsterdam, admonishing Bitcoin community for not pushing back hard enough on the privacy invasion or building more tools? Have not seen that yet. We'll have to go look at it. But I think first step to getting better privacy is making sure that users are able to use Bitcoin as non-custodially as possible. This is a step in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be blind to not see that there's massive custodial Lightning usage right now. So it's really great that in this list we have three major announcements for making self-custody Lightning, specifically on mobile. I will say specifically on mobile again, because that's where the overwhelming majority of people will interact with Bitcoin. for better or for worse, is incredibly important. So it's really great to see.
Yeah. Keep pushing. What are you laughing at? Yellow. What is Yellow saying?
He says you're about to flip the table.
If I just...
Why is Marty sitting like it's like he is ready to flip the table any minute now?
I got my laptop down here, Yellow. I'm just gonna
just gotta flip it.
Is he mad? Always mad. Mad as hell. I'm gonna do something about it. I'm gonna stay humble, stack sats, hold my own keys, and ridicule the power structure. Trezor introduces safe 3-signing device and Trezor Keep metal backup. So new wallet, new backup. It's got a secure element. Years of shitting on secure elements and Trezor adds one. What are your thoughts on this, Matt?
It's pretty funny, like the pro, like the super pro Trezor influencers that have been anti secure element trying to do their about face right now. But it's good to see them adding a secure element. It should make it, if used correctly, and I have not looked at the specs or anything, used correctly, it should make it more difficult to extract your private keys from a Trezor, which is good to see. They have been trying to build a open source secure element for a long time. Their project is called Tropic Square, I believe. Because their argument has been, you know, these secure elements, you know, often have NDAs, and they're closed. So they couldn't use one unless they had an open source secure element. This is not that secure element. This is a different secure element from some other company. But if you do it in the right way, you can incredibly minimize the trust in those secure elements. By essentially, you know, treating them like they are compromised in the first place. So you use them as additive improvement, but you make sure that if they are compromised, they can't fuck you over. ColdCard specifically has gone to great lengths to do that. It's one of the reasons they have 2 secure elements and the MCU on top of that. It's, you know, it's good to see them launch what appears to be a more secure hardware wallet than their existing ones.
Let's go. Let's go full Bitcoin, Trezor. Come on. Samurai Wallet version 0.99.98i has been released with full PSBT support, post-send UI improvements, batch spend, JSON import, and more. They got a nice GIF here. Cutting fiat in half. That's pretty sweet. The update lays the foundation for our soon-to-be-released Sentinel Watch-only app update, as well as introducing a few new sought-after features. So if you're running Samurai, go check this out. Setting the stage for the Sentinel Watch-only application. And we got to get moving. Ronin Dojo. Version 2.1.0 has been released with handling IP changes. So this is, if you want to run a full node that connects directly to Whirlpool, Samurai's Dojo, Ronin Dojo, specifically suited for that. So go check that out. Albi extension version 3.3.0 has been released. Big update for them on chain, send and receive. No longer Lightning only. You know,
I think it's crazy. Fucking crazy. I had no idea they didn't have on-chain up until this point. How long have they existed?
At least 3 or 4 years, I think.
You know, this kind of came up because we did a little, for the people that joined us in to shoot when we were at our retreat, we did a... we did a little competition where we put sats up, and then the winner took the sats. That was with the sats card, and a bunch of people opened wallets that couldn't pay on chain. And it was like something I had never really considered. You'd think it should just be. Yeah, I'm not, I don't think I'm pro Lightning only wallets. Like they should always have the ability to pay on chain as well.
I think I agree there. Just if you want optimal UX, you should just offer both in case somebody doesn't have one or the other.
I mean, like, so like Phoenix is an example, right? Is technically your balance is completely in Lightning, but they still make it so if you scan a on-chain address, it will, you know, splice out and pull it from Lightning and bring it on-chain and send an on-chain payment. So like I understand the idea of just having the funds in Lightning at rest, but if that's the case, then you should provide something to your users that they're able to send off-chain. I mean, with Albi specifically, there's two ways you can use Albi. You can use it with their custodial wallet, and you can use it connecting to your own node. And if you're connecting to your own node, it's already running Bitcoin Core and on-chain, and you have on-chain balances, and every Lightning channel is an on-chain transaction. It's a multi-sig on-chain transaction. So like, I feel like the wallet on the back should already have the capability. But anyway, great to see. Albi's been shipping pretty quick, and I've been using it a lot for Noster, so I really do appreciate their team. It's a really solid product.
Yeah. No, I was telling you this week, we were in person, that it's been really, like, I love having the Albi wallet connected to Noster. Because then it just load up the wallet, and I can just buy stuff with Lightning right in the browser. Shout out to Apollo Gum. If I need to re-up on my Apollo Gum, they accept Bitcoin over Lightning. And just use Albi browser.
Let's fucking go. Circular economy.
Yeah. Very easy. It is like
Apollo Gum, the mastic gum?
Yeah.
How does that shit taste?
It doesn't taste like anything, really.
Do you feel like your jawline stronger?
Yeah, you can definitely feel it. And it's like a good antiseptic for your mouth as well. Anti-inflammatory. It's good. Strong jawlines. We need to bring them back.
That's the selling point, right? It's like, yeah. It's like works out your jaw muscles.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like it is a superior purchase flow, checkout flow. Just boom, Lightning address. If Albi has the page connection and it just pops up, do you want to pay this? Yes. Boom. Send it to my address, please. Smart Vaults for testnet are available on iOS test flight. So if you want to test out Smart Vaults, which is a Miniscript based pay to taproot Bitcoin wallet that used Noster to coordinate metadata and PSBTs, users create a single account, a mnemonic with the mobile app. That key is used for both Noster events and Bitcoin transactions. Let's go check this out.
We demoed
this last week, didn't we? Or we played their demo.
Yeah. I mean, just to go back real quick to the Albi conversation, you know, when we had the Global Bitcoin Summit at the park last month, one thing we heard from a lot of the organizers of these circular economies in the developing world is, and I think there was actually a metaphor for the Jewish community in New York, this idea that earnings come in external of the community and then get spent within the community. And it all starts with earnings, right? Receiving money in Bitcoin. It really jump starts the whole process. And I think Noster's it's just going to be such a massive force for good in that regard. Like people are going to be posting like shit posts and memes and blog posts and, titty pictures, and they're going to receive their first sats, and then they're just going to easily be able to spend them anywhere sats are taken.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that example you're using, I believe, is the Hasidic community in Brooklyn. Like a dollar stays within their local community and economy for something like 37 days before leaving.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Next on the updates, BISC version 1.9.14. has been released. They added Mercado Pago, updated the Java runtime, and more. And check that out if you're running BISC. Plasma, Core Lightning powered iOS wallet, has been released. powered by LN Socket. Lightning Terminal version 0.11.0 alpha has been released. Is this a tarot? Taproot Assets Daemon. So I guess it's setting the way for tarot.
Yeah, I mean, Lightning Terminal is quickly becoming like the main UI that, or like the, not the main UI, but like the default or almost recommended AI GUI, GUI, like interface for you interacting with your L&D node.
Yeah.
Because it's in-house too. It's, you know, it's the same team that's building out L&D.
Shout out to them. Moving on, Ride the Lightning. Version 0.14.1 beta has been released with Taproot channels.
So then like Rider Lightning and Thunderhub would be the main two, probably the main two used GUIs for people actually interacting with their node. Because Lightning Terminal is a bit newer.
Yeah. Moving on, Scaling Lightning version 0.3.1 has been released. Scaling Lightning is a testing toolkit for the Lightning Network. So similar to Polar, I believe. Is it Polar? It
was
Polar.
Yeah, I mean, right? Polar was a Lightning testing tool. Good to see more, you know, tooling for developers to test things.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Pure Master Update. Spring Browser version 0.3.0 has been released with NSEC bunker support, Shipyard, focused writing and scheduling for Noster notes has been released. It's a client focused on enhancing your writing experience, managing your content schedule, and ensuring your ideas get the chance to shine. Another Pablo project. Yeah.
It's also another pilot project, correct?
Amethyst version 0.79.2 has been released with performance updates, mute words, immersive scrolling. And then Shopster, decentralized classifieds marketplace using Lightning and Cashew, has been released on Noster. Noster.
We're a naming podcast, right? Like the trend of just making it all these Noster projects STR afterwards is so fucking confusing.
Aggressive thumbs down. Get more creative. Come on, people.
But both of these projects are really great to see.
Yes. Hoster's decentralized web hosting solution on Noster. And this is something, I mean, we talked about it this week. AI was a big topic at our summit, at a retreat. 50 plus pleb AI agents are now available on any Noster client. We really need open source AI to win. And I think this idea of having very fine-tuned models, open source models, and then combining them, what is it, the idea of 1,000 minds or 10,000 minds?
It's super interesting because if you combine multiple, like if you string together multiple AI agents, it requires less resources at the time.
Yeah.
Just across the board. Right. So it becomes way more mobile self-hosting friendly, as a concept. So that is an interesting concept to me. This particular project, we covered it last week, I believe, or 2 weeks ago. But at that time it was a web page. You go to the web page, you pay for sats to use it. You don't have to give any private information like OpenAI and all these other corporate AI tools require. And you just pay with sats, and now they have it fully integrated with Noster. So you can actually do it directly in a Noster client. And when it comes time to pay them sats, you just zap them sats. It's just pretty fucking cool to see.
Yeah. And the AI for Crossroads right now. It's very interesting. Open source needs to win against these monolithic closed source models. But I do think there are some just pure economic and social incentives that do play in open source AI's favor. One of which being businesses not wanting to share what they're searching and what they're building with closed source models. And they may actually have a fiduciary responsibility to keep data on servers that they control, leveraging open source models.
And businesses have a really great track record of securing data.
That's true.
I mean, jokes aside, I think there is a very strong incentive for businesses to self-host. Particularly, a very easy example that I saw was this idea of like hedge funds using it for trading strategies. And like that hedge fund can't be broadcasting out to Sam Altman or Facebook or Microsoft, like what he's looking at and what's going on there. Like he loses his edge. And you can take that all the way down the line. That being said, and like I believe in, you know, free markets and building without permission, and I'm the last person that will ever argue for any kind of regulation of AI capabilities. But I'm pretty sure I feel like 95% of people, like AI will be used as a tool to surveil and control them more, because you'll just be able to use these massive data sets even more maliciously than they're currently using them. And then for like 5% of us, we're going to have like superpowers, because we have like all this sovereign freedom tech tools available to us. But yeah, it's still worth it, but just something to think about. Like I heard an example of like, you're doing a deposition, and you're suing somebody, and you have like different documents,
the discovery phase.
Emails, thousands and thousands of emails, and you train a model on that, right? And then as the person speaking, as the witness is testifying, you do voice to text on that so that it's going straight into the model, and the model is looking to see what emails contradict what they're saying on when they're testifying. And my first thought when I hear that is, that's going to be fucking great for interrogations. Like, can you imagine, like, you're just getting interrogated by an AI enhanced, fucking goon. And they literally use everything you've ever done in your life, because most people don't secure that shit well, and their lives are fully digital, and then they use it against them as they wish. Pretty scary shit.
Very scary shit. Very scary shit. It's a brave new world.
But yeah, the solution is to build stronger freedom tools and,
yeah, maybe unplug.
Education that will help people actually opt into them.
Mountain men are going to be making a comeback. Last but not least, on software updates section of the show and the list generally, is Tor Browser version 13.0 has been released. The first stable release on Firefox ESR 115. Incorporating years worth of changes shipped upstream.
So yeah, this is a really big release for them.
Refreshed application icons, new homepage, bigger new windows, and technical notes. So they're leveraging Mozilla's Firefox to do this?
Yeah. I mean, they've always built on top of Firefox, so.
Yeah. That's it. We went 30 minutes above what we wanted to. Not sure if you have to rush back.
It's a good rip.
It was a good rip.
Yeah, no, I mean, let's wrap it, but I'm glad we didn't miss a week. This is an incredibly special and powerful week on my side, and the movement continues. We march forward. People are going to forget very quickly on the SBF side. Why trust that third parties are security holes? Because I just feel like people always forget. So don't forget. Just learn how to hold Bitcoin securely yourself, become unruggable, and stay humble in stack sets.
Be good to each other out there, freaks. Peace and love.